Now is the first time in history Israel and the church existed at the same time. What does that mean?
What's coming in the future for Israel is a peace agreement. It's going to be a temporary one. It's going to be a counterfeit peace. The Antichrist will broker. But you can imagine in the wake of all this, people are going to be clamoring for a permanent peace there. Israel, at some point in time, I think we'll get a peace with this, with Saudi Arabia. There's going to be this peace agreement that will come. This is setting the stage for that Antichrist agreement that's going to bring peace to the Middle East.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan talks to ministry friend, Pastor Billy Crone. They discuss the silence of the shepherds and more. Why are some churches silent on many of the very important issues of our day? We live in the most significant time in human history, and we need our pastors and pulpits to speak the truth. Here is today's programming.
And by the way, just as a setup for you to recognize something, that we live in a time right now that is the most accurate age to live in regarding the fulfillment of Bible prophecy and or the teen up, if I can put it that way, the stage setting parameters of end times prophecy. We could say that the fuse is about to be lit if it hasn't been lit already. Now, these are not bombastic statements. Since May 14, 1948, Israel has existed as a nation for the second time. But in the last several decades, there's been a global shift and a global move in ways that can only be answered in the Bible. You can try all of you want. I say this with love and respect. Try, go, read, whoever. You can find nothing more accurate than what the Bible says about the last days. And according to the scriptures, we are living in the last days.
Well, we've had some fascinating and very tense weeks here in the last month or so. And actually, as this is airing, we're winding down the year 2023, and who could have imagined it? Current events often do tie to the Bible. Some of them remind us how late the hour is, not the least of which has been going on in the Middle East. And when America is weak, bullies around the world get very strong and very aggressive. I've heard from a lot of you, and you're trying to discern the times. I've also heard about some of your frustrations with friends, with family, and even your church, and I'm going to spend some time on that this hour. We're having dramatic lessons on good versus evil on overdrive, and I think that the message that has been prominent to me is the reliability of God's word, and more specifically, his prophetic word. What the Bible predicts always comes true. Evil is going to wax worse and worse. The perilous times are going to intensify. And the key to understanding our times is to understand what God says about the present and the future. The downside to this is too many Christians, leaders, and churches will not talk about it. I wrote an e-newsletter in the last couple of weeks, and it was titled The Silence of the Shepherds, referring to some pastors. By the way, not all. And let me just summarize what I wrote. I'm not going to try to read it, take too long, but The Silence of the Shepherds, and I just commented, I said, the headlines, the photos, the videos that have come out of the Middle East in the last month or so, well, they're not seeker sensitive, that they won't make church attendees feel good. They're talking about the sensitive situation, won't fit into any of the church growth strategy. It won't encourage anyone to become purpose-driven, and it could even cause divisiveness. So I should not have been so shocked when I started getting some emails. Let me read one short email here. I'm not going to give any names. She says, Jan, I was very dismayed that the church we attend did not even make mention of what's going on in Israel on Sunday, that would be October the 8th, nor did the topic arise that Wednesday night, though there were several mentions of the Houston Astros game. Well, I was kind of surprised to get a number of emails with that sentiment. I'll refer to those later. And you know what? Nobody can say that they didn't know what was going on in the month of October, because it was wall-to-wall coverage, all media outlets, day and night, and there were demonstrations going on around the world that were shocking. Some of the signs said, gas the Jews. Okay, the scenario could expand easily to an entire Middle East war, and some were anticipating World War III at hand. And again, we have new levels of evil on display. And yet the silence of the shepherds was deafening. Now, not all, thankfully, not all. I went to the website of the National Association of Evangelicals, and they claimed to speak for all evangelicals just to see what they were highlighting during the worst of this conflict. And I saw a banner. I thought I would see a banner saying, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem," and actually their banner was all about racial justice. I scrolled down, and there was actually a blurb about the conflict in the Middle East, and it said, believe it or not, that Israel should not act out of revenge, and they should support the dignity of all people affected. Well, a note to the National Association of Evangelicals: terrorists have no dignity. They are evil, and they are demonized. And then I started to think about the theologies involved in all that's been going on. Maybe these denominations or churches are silent because of their theology. Perhaps that the theology doesn't fit the current scenario, and perhaps their inter-replacement theology, the church is the new Israel, and perhaps they may be amillennial, and Israel does not play a huge role to the amillennialists, and perhaps they believe in preterism, that all prophecy happened in 70 AD. Everything happened in 70 AD except the return of the Lord. And then we have the belief in dominionism, and that simply stated in a sentence is that the church is going to be the important player of the last days, and the church supersedes the calling of Israel to be a light to the nations. Those are just some theologies at play here, and we could probably list some more, but I just think of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said a generation ago, that silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. So how can we be silent? So if every church in North America perhaps were to have met back on the day after the carnage that we all saw on October the 7th, if that next day, if every denomination, evangelical or not, were to have met for special prayer, could an unspeakable disaster have been averted? Remember, folks, and I try to make this point as often as I can, the church is grafted in to the Jewish olive tree. This is an appeal, and this hour will be an appeal as well to pastors to not keep silent when it comes to the truth. At the very least, the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6, and you know what? There's a blessing after that. They shall prosper who love thee, and that sounds like church growth would come automatically. The blessings of God would follow if we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, what I want to do is I want to bring my special guest on, and you've heard him on this program many times. Pastor Billy Crone is pastor of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas. And before he comes on, I'm going to play a real quick soundbite of him, because when I wrote my article, I played off this particular clip from Pastor Crone.
Hey, just want to explain a little bit of the premise of today's study. Why should we study Bible prophecy? As things continue to progress, we get phone calls, emails from people all over the place. And as we've talked about before, not saying that by way of boasting or anything, God's doing a neat work here. I think it is exciting. But some of the phone calls we get is these people are irate. And I mean mad. Okay, praise God they're not mad at us. What they're mad about is they're mad at the church. And what they say is, I'll never forget this. This was just about 2 months ago. I had this lady call from out of state. She was just irate. She says, why in the world has my church not taught me this? I've been a Christian for 20 years and I have never heard this. Why? And this, she was not just at the church. She was mad at her Sunday school class even. I didn't even get it there. And she was blown away by it, and she was encouraged and things of that nature. But she was irate that why isn't anybody telling me? Why isn't my leaders teaching me this stuff? Now, as we've been seeing, folks, we are in the apostasy. I truly believe that. And I think the irony of the thing is, why won't people touch Bible prophecy with a 10-foot pole is because of Bible prophecy. It said this is going to happen in the last days. Kenetho, they're going to tickle the ears. The only thing you're going to hear from the pulpit in the last days, according to the Bible, is pleasant things and stories made up. That's what Paul says, and that's what you're getting. So I think to answer the question, it certainly is a sign, the irony of it, that we're living in the last days.
Billy Crone, welcome back to the program.
Jan, it's always great to be on.
Do you think that part of the apostasy of the last days, and I think you do, and I would certainly concur with that, would be the silence on things that are going on, the silence on current events of the world, the king is coming, etc.?
Absolutely, Jim, because what is happening is, again, fulfillment of what you heard on that soundbite, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the Greek word there for ears tickled is kenetho, and it means to desire only that which is pleasant. And then it said they would turn away from the truth on top of that, and then turn aside to myths, which is muthos, which literally means stories made up. But before you even get to that, it also said that the modus of operandis for this apostate church would that they would not only not endure sound doctrine, but it would be something that's all about self. And that's exactly what we're seeing. The whole modus of operandis right now for the church is you only tell me that which is pleasing. I don't care if you got to make stories up. It's all about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. And this is something that I like to remind people, Jim. According to that text, there's two sides of the apostate coin. The first side, of course, is the shepherds. I call them hirelings. They're not really there for the benefit of the church, John chapter 10. And we focus on this. How come the shepherds, like he wrote in your article, the silence of the shepherds? And that is true. These guys, if they're even Christians, I don't know, but they have no business being in the pulpit. And this is a time when we need to speak out as shepherds, real shepherds, because the truth is what people need, and that's what sets you free. But The other half of that passage, Jen, is this. It clearly says the context is the church, and it says they not only want a self-centered service. It's interesting. It's actually in the Greek word idios, where we get the word idiot, means just selfish and self-centered. But it says there the church will accumulate themselves, these so-called shepherds, who will only tell them what they want to hear, their own desires. Now, in the Greek there, accumulate themselves, it literally means this, Jim. It means to pile up in a heap. So it isn't just that these guys, the shepherds, keep their mouth shut. It's the apostate church. That's the only guys they will hire. And I can tell you the flip side of this. I have got actual accounts of true shepherds who maybe didn't start out teaching all the Bible, including prophecy. But when they started to, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, you're supposed to teach the whole counsel of God, you know what the church's response was? They fired them. Why? Because the Bible says it isn't just the shepherds that keep their mouth shut and only tickle ears and focus on self, and you can't hear anything unpleasant, whether it's what's going on in Israel or anything, but the church only wants those guys. So that's the other side of the coin, and that's what you're seeing today. God has blessed me here at Sunrise. I've been here for 12 years to be their shepherd. God's doing a great work here. But can I tell you something? And I'm not saying this is going to happen. But let's say God were to move us on from the work here at Sunrise. You know what my biggest challenge would be, Jam?
Go ahead.
A church that would want to hire me.
You're right.
I'm not joking.
You're right.
They don't want to hear the truth anymore. But that's what's going on.
I know. And I want to quickly add parenthetically, there are some pastors telling the truth out there because I've heard from both the pastors and people raving about their church. But let me just read a couple of emails here, Pastor Billy Crone, and you can comment here. This person writes, I'm not going to give any names, folks. She says, our megachurch senior pastor had one of his assistants offer a prayer this past Sunday regarding Israel and the conflict. But during the senior pastor's sermon, he didn't mention a single word about it. And yet, when George Floyd was killed in your city, we had a special sermon on racism with the urging also to give money to African-American organizations. I'll read another one here. This person says, you mentioned in your article perhaps folks are amillennial, but I think the problem is premillennial. Maybe the silence from the church is because people have been told by you that they will be raptured, so why would someone take a stand if they believe that they won't have to face any evil in our day? Another person writes, I was so sad. This recent Sunday, I asked for prayer for what's going on in the Middle East, and my pastor laughed. He said, well, this has been going on for 4,000 years, and he blew it off. Another person writes, I asked my pastor why we did not pray for the Middle East conflict, and he said that he had a lot on his mind and that he just plain forgot. Well, I'm going to drive 4 hours to Pastor Brandon Holthouse's church where I can hear the truth. And then I'll read one more here. This is from a pastor. This is very interesting. It says, most pastors will not admit this, but they are very insecure and they don't want to upset people in the church who are uncomfortable hearing anything that smacks of politics. So yes, fear is a significant contributor to the motivation these pastors hide behind, yet all the people in America should be filled with courage because that's what faith does in your life. It should be the pastors. Then he concludes, one of the pastors here in our state says that any talk of politics hurts your opportunity to share the gospel. And I think I'll stop there. And he goes on to conclude that, but that reasoning ultimately would lead you to not be preaching against any sinful behavior, similar to what Joel Osteen does. So you have to go back to the beginning of how these men are trained. The seminaries are the root of the fear in young pastors and pulpits. Your comment on that, Billy Crone?
That's exactly what's going on today. The sad irony is, again, these so-called churches, so-called shepherds, so-called Christian congregations, they're fulfilling prophecy in a negative way. To give the listeners maybe a visual of what's going on and just how biblically obtuse it's become, the Bible's very clear as far as the mission for the real church, the bride of Christ, certainly as we're approaching his soon return, is that we are on a giant rescue mission. And so if you want to use the analogy, we are supposed to be out there in the world on a rescue boat. But with the lie of the church growth movement fulfilling this prophecy in a negative way, their whole modus of operandi is, no, they're on a cruise boat. Even though the whole world is on fire, they're on that cruise boat in their own little world, enjoying the buffet. It's all about self and listening to pleasant things, while literally people are in need of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. So their whole modus is a cruise ship. Biblically, we're on a rescue ship. And that's really the sad irony of what's going on. The church got hijacked about 30 years ago. Really what we see now, and even in this reaction of silence, is not the real church. This is the apostate church. You mentioned comments that you're getting. I got this one right after Israel was invaded. I got this from one of our Christian friends in New Jersey, and she said this is what they experienced. The Sunday after Israel was attacked, everybody was talking about the Phillies game and the Eagles. But last night, and this would have been that first Wednesday midweek service, she said our pastor did a prophecy update half an hour long and then went into a Q&A. And I'm going like, hey, praise God, he's a good shepherd. That's what you should be doing. But then here's what she said. He goes into the Q&A and not one question. Complete silence. And she said, quote, he thought he was getting a question, but it was really somebody telling the score of the Phillies game. The pastor was so upset, he just ended the service. Last night, quote, was the shortest Wednesday service we ever had. And then she ends on a quote from the George Orwell book, 1984, quote, football, beer, and above all, gambling filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not too difficult. That's where we're at today.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Pastor Billy Crone from Sunrise Bible Church, Las Vegas. You can learn more. I hope you will try to learn more because he's got a lot to say and he's got a lot of information at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Billy Crone, I want to consider the prophecy angle from what's been going on in the Middle East. And I'm going to play a short soundbite by Dr. Mark Hitchcock, who has addressed this all beautifully online. I'm sure he has at his church too.
What's coming in the future for Israel is a peace agreement. It's going to be a temporary one. It's going to be a counterfeit peace. The Antichrist will broker. But you can imagine in the wake of all this, people are going to be clamoring for a permanent peace there. Israel, at some point in time, I think we'll get a peace with this, with Saudi Arabia. There's going to be this peace agreement that will come. This is setting the stage for that Antichrist agreement that's going to bring peace to the Middle East. It's also setting the stage for the war of Ezekiel 38. Iran has their fingerprints all over this. They're mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Russia, I mean, this whole invasion of Hamas into Israel was a gift of Vladimir Putin to take the focus off his war in Ukraine. Turkey's President Erdogan, his response, he said this, we're against the killing of civilians in Israel. But then listen to what he says next. But we also oppose the massacre of defenseless innocents in Gaza. He just calls them civilians in Israel killed, but he calls it a massacre of defenseless innocents. No, it was a massacre of defenseless innocents in Israel. But it shows where his true affections lie. And Turkey and Iran and Russia are the three key players in the Ezekiel 38-39 invasion.
Another happening that is prophesied in the Bible, of course, would be Isaiah 17, and that would be the leveling of the city of Damascus. The Israeli military has said if, in fact, Syria gets involved in this war, one of the military guys said, we're going to level Damascus. That was leaping right out of the Bible. Your thoughts on this, Billy?
The Bible is the only book on the planet, Jan, as we know, or should know as Christians, that tells us exactly what's going to happen, the chronological order of things in the last days. And kudos to Dr. Hitchcock there. It sounds like what I did and other shepherds right after the Israel war broke out. I interrupted my study and I went into and still am in a study on Israel to get the congregation equipped to how to biblically put in the proper time frame and perspective of what's going on right now with Israel, because it has everything to do with Bible prophecy. And you'd mentioned the Ezekiel, Gog and Magog war, Ezekiel 38-39, and Dr. Hitchcock did. And that's the importance of this event. What I stated from the very get-go, only God knows, but if in fact, and we're already seeing it, you're seeing a expansion of this war to begin to include other countries, Muslim countries surrounding Israel, including Iran, rattling sabers, and then, of course, with the relationship they have and have had for years and other Muslim nations with Russia, you're looking at the possibility that we're heading towards the Ezekiel 38-39 Gog and Magog war. Now, the importance of that in my study, what I did, the first one, I did a chronological timeline of where are we at in God's order. I went from all the way to the beginning, Genesis, to all the way to the very end with the eternal state, the new heavens and the new earth. But where we're at right now is the next event on God's prophetic time calendar is called the rapture of the church. And it could happen at any moment. That's why it's called an imminent return. This is also why I personally put the Gog and Magog war, Ezekiel 38, after the rapture. And that's because if you put it before the rapture, then the rapture is no longer imminent. I'm not looking for the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. I'm looking for a war, and then that would destroy imminency. But the point is this, as Dr. Hitchcock stated, let's say that, in fact, that's the next thing on the plate is the rapture, and then here comes the Gog and Magog war. And if this is what this event is leading to, then that just means our departure as born-again Christians is that much nearer. But then it also happens to fit very well with the next order of events. So if you got the rapture, and then you got the Gog and Magog war, Ezekiel 38, that could be expanding with what's going on right now, then what is everybody going to be clamoring after that Middle East war, World War III? Peace. And how does the seven-year tribulation start? Daniel 9:27. A Mr. Fix-It out of the ashes of that turmoil and bloodbath, because God's going to defend Israel. He's going to be a man with the peace plan, except this one they're going to agree with. He'll make a covenant with the people of Israel. And that's the very event that starts the seven-year tribulation. So this is the importance of knowing this stuff. It's not a time to sit there and talk about your cat fluffing the third grade or learn to be a better you and all the other baloney that people are rightly clamoring, saying, what is up with my church? Why aren't you addressing this? The importance is we should be addressing it. We don't know the exact day nor the hour, but we don't condone the evil and the war and the atrocities and the murder. Of course not. But the exciting thing is this is a huge reminder from God that we're not just in the last days, but the rapture has got to be getting close, because we leave prior to this Ezekiel 38 war. So as Christians, it's not a time to be lazy, as people would accuse us of the pre-trib position. It does just the opposite. It gets rid of procrastination. It makes me want to share the gospel even more. And it also makes me want to make sure that when Christ finds me, that he's found me faithful, not fearful. I'm out there on that rescue boat trying to save as many as we can, because that's the only logical conclusion.
Kind of a quick aside here, Pastor Crone, in that you recently were a part of the group that went to minister in Europe, you and Tom Hughes, and our rep, Ken Michael, Brandon Holthouse, Mondo Gonzalez, and you presented some of these truths to those in Europe for about a week or so. Tell me what you found there.
Jan, what we found was absolutely unbelievable. And if anything, it proved the point that we've been saying for years, the church has got it wrong. Christians do want to know what's going on in the last days. They do want to understand and know Bible prophecy. They do want to get equipped. And the outpouring of people was phenomenal. Of course, we went to Ireland, then Scotland, and then finished up in Italy. In all three locations, it was such a wild outpouring of people. We had people showing up, Jan, 5-6 hours early just to make sure that they could get a seat. They were so hungry. They were flying from different countries on their own dime just to get there, because this has never been done before. And the churches over there, if you think it's bad now here in America, and it is, Europe basically is our future. A lot of them are state-run churches or completely, even more so, apostate. And this has been going on for many, many years. And all the remnant there is just starving. And they've been plugged into a lot of our ministries, including yours, Jim, for many years. But the one thing they lack is fellowship, because they're all alone. But here's what's cool. And kudos to Ken Michael. He did a fantastic job. Every location, what we did, and Ken started this, was had people stand up, say, hey, how many guys are within 30 minutes of this place? And they would stand up. And he says, no, keep standing up. How many of you here within an hour of this place? And even more people would stand up. And he says, these are your people. You need to connect. You need to write down contact information, connect with each other. And they did, Jan, all three locations. And what came out of that was, I'm not joking, it was like a wild missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. Every location, home churches started up while we were there. And that was our prayer speakers. God, we're only going to be here for a short time and we got to go. Please raise up a real church, a remnant church. And they did, Jan. And we've got home churches starting in all three locations. In fact, there's so many of them that one of our contacts on the ground there, we basically have asked him to be an overseer of these home churches.
Wonderful.
It's wild.
I'm so thrilled to hear all of that, Billy Crone. As I wind down part one of my programming today, I want to quote our wonderful friend, Amir Sarfati, Israeli Bible teacher. You hear him with me all the time. This is a quote from him. He's been interviewed in many platforms, and I'm just quoting him from one of those interviews. He says this, "What I see now is what Psalm 120 says. When I say peace, they are for war. The people that dwell around me don't want peace. They want war," he explained. And then he goes on to say, "Hamas doesn't want peace. Hamas wants to kill us. In their own charter, it says that the Jews must be annihilated when Islam is taking over." Amir says, "That's their goal. They don't want land. They don't want peace. They want Islamic superiority over the world and the annihilation of the Jewish people. That's what they want," Amir maintains, warning that, quote, "we are on a fast track towards Ezekiel 38. And then he goes on to say, and I find all of this very relevant right now, I wanted to share it with you. He says, "On October 7th, we had a big miracle. From what we gather so far, what could have happened, the amount of weapons and ammunition and everything that we found with Hamas, they should have killed 5,000 people. And then he goes on to say that intelligence sources told him that Hamas forgot to coordinate with Hezbollah and other militias, which would have made the attacks far greater had they all attacked Israel simultaneously. And then he concludes, "I'm choosing to look at this satanic attack and the godly intervention to stop it before Israel would be annihilated." And then he says, "When I look at the tragedies, I ask myself, okay, what was originally planned and what exactly happened? And that's how I judge it." He concludes, "I give God the glory for stopping them where they stopped. It could have been a massacre of biblical proportions that I'm talking about. Today, it's 1,400, but it could have been 5, 6, 7, or 10,000 people if they had really executed what they wanted." Just some thoughts by our good friend Amir Sarfati as he comments, as an Israeli living in Israel, about some of the unseen miracles that went on behind the scenes and continue to go on behind the scenes on a daily basis in God's land. When I come back, I want to ask my guest, because we've just gone through a monumental year, we're not quite through yet, what he might think would be the most significant story of this year. And we'll get into some other things as well, including one of his new products. I'm back in just a minute. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are racing to the close of another stunning year, and we want to thank our listeners for their support and their prayers for this ministry and radio outreach. We began on radio in the year 2001 out of the Twin Cities. We are now heard on almost 1,000 radio stations and around the world electronically. We've watched milestones from 9/11 to the rush to global government to Mideast conflict causing world instability. We know that nothing is out of control, as God is always in control. And we echo what the psalmist says, that our times are in His hands. Thank you for watching with us and for encouraging others to listen to our radio outreach, Understanding the Times. It's been an interesting journey as we await His return.
This is the same kind of behavior that went on in the days of Noah, and Jesus said it's going to repeat right before He came back, and that's why we need to get equipped.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on His channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Pastor Billy Crone to wrap up today's programming.
Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born in a day? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Right next to Isaiah 66, verse 8, you can write down May 14th, 1948. There's no other nation, listen, skeptic, no other nation in the history of mankind that has had its rebirth in one day except Israel. No other nation. The moment May 14th, 1948 happened, the moment that happened, God's stopwatch started again. Right now, Gentiles in this world, we're living on borrowed time. The Church of Jesus Christ in the earth, this is the first time in human history that Israel and the church have existed at the same time, which means God's about ready to go to work with Israel, if you know your Bible, and He's about ready to be done with the church on earth. It's a remarkable time you and I are living in, and we ought to be looking up as Jesus told us to be.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jack Hibbs. He introduced part one and part two of my programming today. We're talking about the perilous times and the incredible happenings that have taken place in the last month. I just want to quickly insert here, because what we're talking about requires the church to go to prayer. So I am really pleased to announce that our website now has a prayer wall. Let me say one word about it, because Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So we are in a time when prayer is needed more than ever. Encourage you to visit our website and then go to contact, and you will see the prayer wall listed. If you want to share a prayer request, simply enter your information. Once it is approved, it will show on the prayer wall. If you pray for someone, let them know by clicking the box that says, "I prayed for this." You will then let the person know that they have been prayed for. I hope this will be helpful. I'll be saying more about it in the days and weeks to come as a reminder, because I feel it's so important. It's how Pastor Crone and I introduced this program, is our churches need to be more engaged and the people need to be more engaged about what on earth is happening as we see the countdown to the end of the church age. And we are excited to remind you that Olive Tree Ministries has our own app. It is available in the App Store for Apple devices and the Play Store for Android. Search for Olive Tree Ministries and look for our logo. The app will provide easy access to our radio programs, live stream our bi-monthly events, read our news headlines, and go straight to our social media channels. And by the way, you'll never get the wrong YouTube channel again. Pastor Crone, you recently had, I would call it a horrific experience, as it concerned the outfit that publishes your books, now a total of almost 60 books, and you got notice from them by email very recently, and what had happened?
They basically said, "You're a victim of cancel culture," and
yeah,
they shut us down. And then, of course, I tried to respond, no response. I tried to say, "Well, can I talk to somebody about this?" Again, no response. It was, "You're done." The clue that I got, okay, what's going on here, was whether they intended to do this or not, or was a mistake, but I looked at their email thread, that was included in their email to me saying you're done. And it was an email from Amazon. Amazon had complained to our publisher about our Klaus Schwab books, and one in particular, they didn't like it. So the publisher's response was, you're done. Jan, I could see if they wanted to get rid of maybe one of the books, or we've written now three books, three resources on the Klaus Schwab agenda, the Great Reset, which I still would disagree with. Hello, this is America. We got free speech. But still, why did you take off the so-called offending book or books, three of them? Why'd you have to say you're completely done? I've had a relationship with them for 15 years. I've written over 60 books. Now, praise God, God does what he always does. And I'm not saying this to boast about me, but honestly, my first response when I got that email was, thank you, Jesus, because all they did was confirm that we are exactly where we need to be, teaching, exposing what we need to be teaching, exposing. And if anything, these guys just confirmed it because they're trying their best to get rid of our voice. And then, of course, okay, God, you do what you've always done for us. Take what other people mean for evil and turn it around for good. Romans 8:28, he works all things together for good. Well, within 48 hours, Jan, sure enough, we were already back up and publishing and praise God, saving everything on hard drives and maintaining the ownership of all the material over the years. But the other thing too is it got even better than that. Now God has blessed us with the ability as a teaching ministry. We have now been able to get our hands on big industrial equipment. We can now manufacture our own books just as professional as what we were paying for. So these people can bark all they want. We don't need you anymore.
They offered no explanation to you. Is that right? They just said you're done.
Zilch. And I didn't think they would change their mind, but I just wanted to have the satisfaction of that conversation. I wanted them to expose even more. No response. I kept trying to respond. Silence. And Basically, you're done.
You had to follow the thread and figure it out that it's pressure from Amazon that pressured them.
Yeah, they bowed a knee to Amazon. The irony is Amazon, Jeff Bezos, guess who he works for? Klaus Schwab and the guy, right? So if you know what's going on, the world geopolitics and these guys, on the one hand, wasn't a surprise, but that tells us that they're all in on it. But here's the other blessing, Jan. We not only were able to get back up and running better, stronger than we ever were before. So that's actually exciting. But once word got out that we were actually a victim of cancel culture as a Christian ministry, then people begin to ask questions. What is in those Klaus Schwab books that Amazon wanted to completely silence you about? So what it's done is it stirred up a mega curiosity. It completely blew up in their face. Rather than being silenced, Jan, we can't keep these things on the shelf. Everybody's going like, what is in there that Amazon didn't want us to know?
You can learn more at getalifemedia.com. And Pastor Crone, Pastor Sunrise Bible Church, he is very frequently a guest of mine. We've actually brought him to the Twin Cities a couple of times as well for our Understanding the Times one-night events in a suburb of Minneapolis. I gave a tease, Esther Crone, going out of part one, that I want to just take a minute to consider the most significant stories of 2023. I mean, here we are. We're starting to wind down the year, and I'm looking at things that have transpired from the constant reference to the coming digital money to, and we just talked about it, the apostasy in the church, to the rush to global government and the rush to the reset, to culture decline and the glorification of the aberrant, Mideast turmoil, well, hello, that's one of the most major stories, to the decline of America. If America weren't in decline, Billy Crone, the Mideast conflagration never would have happened. But as I said in part one, when bullies sense weakness, they get very strong and very obnoxious, is what's happened in October. Give me your take on some of the top stories of 2023 and why we should pay attention to them.
Because the Bible, again, is the only book on the planet that, number one, we don't condone evil and wickedness and these mega maniacs trying to take over the world. But the Bible is the only book, Jan, that tells us in advance that this is what you can expect on the planet when you're living in the last days. And then God tells us the future in advance so that, number one, if you're not saved, get saved now. Number two, if you are saved, get excited now, because God's not going to tell us exactly when the rapture is going to happen, but he loves us enough. He gives us many signs that it's getting close. And everything you mentioned, Jan, is a Bible prophecy related sign. You even mentioned going on with America being weak, and that's why it's led to this Israel war. I fully agree with you. We also, speaking back to our Klaus Schwab studies, we have exposed Joe Biden's, and I'll use this phrase, hand-picked role into weakening, and not just weakening. The ultimate goal is he was brought in to destroy America.
Billy Crone, let's transition a little bit here because we're carrying your DVD set. We have quite a few, but the one that I'm going to focus on, at least for a few minutes, is titled Klaus Schwab, Eugenics and the Rise of the Nephilim. It's a DVD set. And here's what you have by way of description. You say, what would have happened if Hitler would have won the war? What kind of dystopian nightmare would he and his SS agents have brought to the planet if victory was within their grasp? What other deeds would they have perpetrated upon mankind like they did to the Jewish people? Well, wonder no more, because believe it or not, Hitler's satanic agenda is now actually marching beyond Germany and is actively spreading across the whole planet. Now, that was your description here. And by the way, Pastor Cronin, I don't have the set right in front of me. It's how many teachings total?
11 different topics that we deal with there.
So it's multiple teachings, folks, and we have it in our online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Talk to me a little bit about this. You're referring to the days of Noah. This particular topic is resurrecting the days of Noah again, and you get into the eugenics and the genetics that are a part of this scenario. It's quite fascinating. It's a little troubling, to be sure. You talk about gene editing, and I'm going to mention CRISPR in a few minutes here. But why have you done this particular set?
Because I'm convinced it's a Bible prophecy-related topic. You mentioned the days of Noah. Why should we be concerned about the days of Noah? One, it's in the Bible. You need to read the Bible, all of it, not some of it. But Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, not maybe not might, at the coming of the Son of Man. So Jesus said, when you see a repeat of the days of Noah, it's a sign. He's not going to tell you exactly when, but it's a sign that his return is getting close. And then when you go back to the scripture and you see, okay, well, what was the days of Noah like to see if we're getting close to the return of Christ? Number one, Jesus said it was a lackadaisical attitude, a scoffing attitude. Peter mentions this too, in the news of the coming judgment of God, eating, drinking, giving a marriage. And Jan, that's exactly what's going on, not just in the world, but even the church. What were we sharing at the beginning of the program? What were the churches doing as the world's on fire? Israel's at war. Hey, what's the score of the game? Eating, drinking, giving a marriage. So we're already there. The Genesis account tells us also that the heart of man was continually wicked all the time. And I think we could agree, boy, that's certainly here. But it's that other aspect where there was a weird thing going on with humanity. I call it the hybridization of mankind, creating something that ended up being non-human that the Bible calls Nephil in the Hebrew, or the Nephilim. So the question is, well, wait a second. As crazy as that sounds, are we seeing the desire to make mankind into non-humans again? Yes. Hitler started it with the eugenics program, but you can't say eugenics that you're going to now bring it to the whole planet, because that's bad press. They're going to say, wait a second, no, you're not. So all Klaus and the gang has done, which by the way, as we've exposed, Klaus grew up in Hitler's Germany, and basically everything that Hitler wanted to do but only made it as far as Germany, including the eugenics program, Klaus has picked up the baton, and now he's bringing it to the whole world. What these guys want to do is they've relabeled it eugenics, and then this is their new term. They call it human 2.0,
yep,
or augmented humanity. Jan, listen to this. This is their words. They want to bring to the planet a, quote, post-human species. Now, stop right there. What do you mean by post-human? That means you're no longer human. And you're going like, this is not like crazy, but why do I need to know this? Because this is the same kind of behavior that went on in the days of Noah, and Jesus said it's going to repeat right before he came back. And that's why we need to get equipped.
And in it, you talk about this gene editing. And folks, I've talked about this with Billy Crone previously because we've carried so many of his products. A couple of years ago, or maybe even more than that, you introduced the whole concept of CRISPR. And I want to bring that out again. Let's play this clip and then come back and talk about this gene editing.
Now to this story, revolutionary technology that can edit genetic mistakes is getting attention and scrutiny this morning. CRISPR could help rid us of diseases like cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and even HIV and cancer. Think about that.
And what is CRISPR?
CRISPR, first of all, it's an acronym. It stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced short palindromic repeats, a huge mouthful. You can see why we use the acronym CRISPR.
So I'm sorry, what's CRISPR again?
Geneticist Jennifer Doudna gets asked that question a lot. A researcher and professor at UC Berkeley, Doudna has become a spokesperson for a gene editing technology she's credited with developing, that mouthful known as CRISPR.
I've heard it compared to essentially like a film editor, slicing a bit of film.
I would say that's a great analogy, yeah.
How does that work then?
Well, think about a film strip. You see a particular segment of the film that you want to replace. And if you had a film splicer, you would go in and literally cut it out and piece it back together, maybe with a new clip. Imagine being able to do that in the genetic code, the code of life. You could go in and snip out a piece and replace it with something that corrects a mutation that would cause disease.
That's incredible.
It's incredible.
That was a little clip from your presentation, Pastor Krohn. And we're talking here designer technology. We're really talking about designer babies coming. Am I right?
Yeah, coming. And dare I say, Jan, we expose that a lot of this behavior is already going on, and not just with CRISPR, and it's being done to humans, including babies, but also adults. And there's the CRISPR technology. There's also the mRNA technology. And what we are exposing in this is the deepest dive I've ever done on this topic, is this oftentimes is being done against people's will. And we need to understand how nefarious these guys are. They're not saying, hey, we want you to come into a laboratory so we can experiment on you and turn you into a post-human species with CRISPR. Jan, these guys are doing it against our will. And this is part of their global agenda. And there's two sides to the Great Reset coin that you hear from class all the time. And praise God, it's taken about 3 years. People are catching on, including non-Christians, to the first side of that coin, the Great Reset. It's an economic reset, and this is where Joe Biden comes in. They deliberately want to crash the American dollar-based system because we're the current backbone of the existing global economy. So they want to crash the system so they can have an excuse to reset it to a cashless society that is biometrically tied into people's body parts, which I'm convinced is the lead up to the Mark of the Beast system. People are starting to catch on to that, Jim. But you flip that Great Reset coin over, and that's what this study is all about. It's not just an economic reset that they're bringing to the planet, whether we want it or not. It's a human reset. They literally want to change mankind into what they feel as elites, into a better image using science and technology. And again, you're going like, well, they ain't going to do that to me, or I'm never going to go to one of their laboratories. This is the alarming truth. They're doing it against people's will. And we're just trying to get the truth out. And again, ultimately, what is it? As crazy and wild as it is, it's another sign from God, because he loves us, that the return of Christ is getting close, because I'm convinced it's a full-on repeat of the days of Noah, just in time for the return of Christ.
See, what I wonder about is God about to say enough's enough? We're talking about designer babies here. We're talking about technology that they're trying to replace God, of course. But as in the days of Noah, he said enough back then, and I think he's going to say enough any minute here, and take believers out of this crazy mess and let them do these insane things. That'll be during the tribulation, though, as you have said, it's really starting to go on right now.
Exactly. And that's what's alarming to us, Jen, is people are catching on to the first half, the economic reset, but that's only half of it. The other half is they want to change humanity into something non-human. But you're right, this stuff is going on in a multitude of ways. We talk about the altering technology, but we also talk about it's not coming, it's already being done. They're altering humans, adults and babies. They're also mixing humans with animals, a chimeric study. They're also cloning humans. People say, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Well, we got it on tape. In fact, to show you how cloning never went away, Jim, we all thought it went away with Dolly the sheep back in the 90s. It not only has not stopped, but just go do an easy search. They now offer cloning your pets as a service here in the United States and around the world. Barbara Streisand's already done it, I think, at least twice with her pets. So this is not a conspiracy theory. They also want to create a cyborg humanity. And this is where we expose Elon Musk. He is not on our side. I've been warning this for a year. He's a part of these transhumanists, Klaus Schwab and the gang. And they want to install brain chips in everybody, to not only create remote control humans, but to know everything about us, including our thoughts. It sounds crazy, but I'm convinced this has everything to do with a sign that we're living in the last days. The days of Noah are being repeated, and we're just trying to get the word out because we need to know it. Jen, I can't belabor this enough. I'm just a little surprised that, praise God, people are talking about the first half, the economic reset, and we need to, but we really need to start getting equipped with this second one, the human reset. And this is what Amazon does not want you to know.
We carry this multi-teaching DVD set in my store, Klaus Schwab, Eugenics and the Rise of the Nephilim, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And again, Billy asks, what would have happened if Hitler would have won the war? What kind of dystopian nightmare would he and his SS agents have brought to the planet if victory was within their grasp? Pastor Krohn, Klaus Schwab, he's getting up there in age. Do you think he's the final leader of this endeavor here? Do you think he's got somebody waiting in the wings for him?
Could be. There's been talk in the press. If you do the research, there's been people, they say, well, he's getting up there. Who's going to replace him? Because they obviously don't plan on stopping. But we'll have to see how that, if we're still alive and still here, the rapture is getting close, man, I'm convinced. But the other aspect is, you're thinking like, how could they be so wicked that they would think that it's their duty to not just bring in this economic reset, but a human reset and have a goal to literally create a post-human species where the planet is now non-human? It's because they're all what's called transhumanists.
Yeah.
And Klaus is a top, and transhumanist is basically the new term for what used to be called a eugenicist. Hitler's day, where he believed that it was his duty as the elite, as the man in power, to bring about a better human race called the Aryan race. Well, again, that's all these guys are doing, except now they're bringing it to the planet. But you can't say that they're eugenists. That's got negative connotations. So they call themselves transhumanists, and they believe it is their duty, Jan, as the global elite, to help mankind with science and technology to transcend our so-called human limitations and bring in a superhuman race. But here's my point. The transhumanists, they are working super fast on trying to create their own immortality without God. And this is on tape. It's not a conspiracy theory.
Right.
So back to the question, what's going to happen to Klaus Schwab? They are working on technology that they believe that they can escape death through their transhumanist means. And this is where I'm going with this. Maybe this is what Klaus is going to do. And one of the technologies, it goes back to the cloning thing, that they clone up another human. Maybe it's a replica of the person that they want to take over their body. And I'm not joking. This is on tape. It sounds like Frankenstein, but this is how wicked these guys are. Their plan is to create a clone of themselves or another human. And just before they die, they sever their head and quickly pop it onto this new body. Or, and they believe that they'll have this other option possible. And that is, they believe by 2025, that they will have the science perfected to be able to download the contents of the human brain and then re-upload it into possibly a clone or a cyborg scenario, half human, half machine. And voila, they don't need Jesus. They don't need God. They just cheated death. And they'll just keep doing it with their false immortality. And then I tell them two things. Number one, you can download, I don't doubt, bits and bytes of information from the human brain. But one thing you will never be able to transfer is a soul. Only that comes from God. And so even if you were able to download the contents of the human brain, what you're re-uploading into another so-called scenario is not going to be a human. It's going to be an absolute nightmare. And your other nightmare is going to come because Job 14:5 says, God has determined the length of our lives and you are not given a minute longer.
Thank
you. You're going to wake up dead, standing before God, and you're going to be in a heap of trouble.
I am down to literally a minute or two. I want to sum up this hour because we've talked about very heavy things. Your commentary here on Klaus Schwab is enough to cause somebody to have nightmares. I want to give some assurance in the final minute that we have. I'm going to turn that over to you, but we need to stress the importance of, let's give our lives over to Jesus Christ. That's the only way to have sanity in these last days.
And that's just it, Jen. So as crazy as it sounds, we need to put it in the proper biblical frame. And all this is a loving reminder from God. Number one, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, ask him now. Because there's only one way to escape this nightmare that is coming to the planet that God will put down. These guys aren't going to get away with it fully. That's why we have a seven-year tribulation. And Jesus Christ is going to come back at the second coming and put it all down and build the true utopia for planet Earth called the Millennial Kingdom. But you could be a part of that if you ask Jesus Christ to save you now. If you are already saved, we need to get off of that cruise ship, get back onto the rescue ship, and get excited about the soon return of Jesus Christ and save as many as you can. And again, what happens when the rapture happens? We get to go to heaven, a place beyond our wildest dreams. We get to come back with Jesus to the millennial kingdom. Our greatest adventure awaits. And I am personally excited about getting to see my King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's defeated death, hell, and the grave, and has built this incredible future for me out of love and mercy. His name is Jesus Christ. And all these world events that we're seeing going on right now is God's way of saying, church, I love you. Get ready. I'm coming back.
I've not closed with this scripture reference recently, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Would you encourage someone today, please? Give them a good word, an encouraging word. You have no idea how discouraged many get because of the tide of our times. You will make their day. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. It's a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. You are here on assignment. Don't grow weary. Rather, see things through the lens of the Bible and know that everything is orchestrated so that all things fall into place.